TheAwesomeO.com NBA Strategy Show presented by No House Advantage. I am Dave Lockhart on the Twitters at Laughy underscore D. That is L-O-U-G-H-Y underscore D. Joined by Joshua Engelman at Josh Engelman on the Twitters himself. What's going on, brother?
Not much. Joshua Engelman was my AIM screen name back in the day. I went real creative for that bad boy. Yeah.
Brutal. So your real name is actually Joshua.
It is. It is. I only get that in very limited doses. Used to be like if I were in trouble at home, Joshua was definitely the one pulled out. And then my eighth grade history teacher only called me Joshua, including class, even when I told him, like, I don't go by that. He didn't seem to give a shit.
I had some friends whose parents would call him by their first and middle name.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? They would do something wrong. Only when they do something wrong. Yeah. But the middle name came out. My real name is actually just Dave.
Is it really?
No, that'd be weird, right?
I don't know.
Do you think that'd be strange?
I guess.
Like if you just name someone Tim and not Timothy?
Yeah, I don't know. I never really thought about it, but yeah, I guess.
Right?
Although, like, you know, what are names anyway? We just make these words up all the time.
Does anyone name their kid just Bill when it actually should be William? Like, does anyone just say...
Probably a lot of people.
You think so?
I would guess. Why wouldn't they?
I don't know. It's the age-old question.
You say, like, when it's supposed to be William. None of these things are supposed to be anything. I mean, people name their... I mean, what the hell did Elon Musk name his kid? Like, the Prince symbol and, the symbol for Bitcoin and all this other weird stuff?
Yeah, I don't know what that is, but I don't even know how to pronounce it, as a matter of fact. But he does, and that's all that matters.
I mean, people are doing weird things with names, like changing letters to Y's and stuff now. It's crazy.
Listen, first of all, that's not a weird name at all.
No, it's not at all. But
J-O-R-D-Y-N.
You left me an in.
What's that?
You left me an in.
I know. The funniest thing, though, was when I announced it during the deeper dive, everyone thought it was Jordan, like Jordan Alvarez.
That's incredible, dude.
That's the best thing ever. And, I mean, chat just blew up over it. And I didn't think about, like, all right, you know what? I kind of get where they're coming from, but no, it's not Jordan.
That's like the best thing I've heard in a while. For them to hit that, that's fantastic. I would be, like, you're going to have to, you got to get her like a... Jordan Alvarez, like, onesie jersey thing.
Oh, if they make that, that'd be great. I would do it, even though...
Yeah, of course.
Astros. Is he still on Houston?
No idea, dude. It's baseball season in 8 days. I don't know a damn thing about... I don't know who's on what team. I haven't even opened a spreadsheet yet.
No, I take, like, 4 days to cram everything. You have to, especially when basketball season's going on. You have to. You
know? I messaged our fearless leader behind the scenes today, like, do we have a preliminary MLB schedule yet? Because... I need to know what's about to happen or I'm going to drown.
Yeah, it's basketball season. You got a crypto bull run happening right now. No one's got time for baseball yet.
Yeah, I'm balls deep and so rare. It's insane.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. It's a fun but not fun excursion for me right now.
I found one called Digicall, right? It's like brand new. They haven't launched yet. It's a one-click mint NFT. You can insure your NFTs, right? And it has a liquid marketplace. So if you want to sell something, you can actually just sell it. And they actually they have like an algorithm that works a price out for it. It's kind of neat.
It's nonstop new stuff. I saw Bales was like, if anybody's got any thoroughbreds last night, I was like, oh, I can't keep up with this any longer.
Yeah, the horse racing. Anyway, we're happy to have you guys with us. Thank you for joining us as always. You know this, but I'll tell you again. The easiest and really the most helpful way to support us on the channel is to subscribe to the channel, help us keep building those subscribers to, you know, pass everybody in the industry that's been doing this long before we have. We're close, right? But with your help, I think we passed them. And in very, very short time, we've done what we've done thanks to you. And hit that thumbs up button. The YouTube algorithm, you know, likes to reward the bigger companies, or the bigger, I should say, channels, for obvious reasons, right? But we're here, we're not going anywhere, and we're to be taken seriously. Let's show them that's the case. All right, Josh, so we got six games here. Before we do that, let's jump into a little bit of a lineup study from yesterday. Sure. Some really wild games. First of all, I had a monster parlay on Alabama. I bet them live, minus 18 and a half. They win by 19. And you know who I parlayed it with? Well, I'm going to tell you. I live bet the Toronto Raptors at minus 3.5. What a dog shit team that is. I mean, Houston gets blown out by everyone. Everyone. And they end up winning by like 20 points. You can't make this up how bad Toronto. You have Pascal Siakam, Kyle Lowry, Fred VanVleet, Norman Powell's having a great season, and you get smoked by the Rockets. It's just miserable.
Yeah, that one tripped me up. It was like, oh, John Wall, Christian Wood, potentially on a minutes limit or going to be on a minutes limit. I was like, oh, I've got a lot of Christian Wood, but I'm going to roll with it. He's such a good per minute guy. Like, I think I'll be fine. Turns out Christian Wood plays 28 minutes and that bones me, but didn't matter for John Wall. 36 minutes and 30 shot attempts, triple double. Yeah. He was 8 of 30 from the field yesterday.
Yeah. And they still won by 18 points.
Yeah, I was not happy about any of it.
So Christian Wood, by the way, played 28 minutes, but he would have played like 40.
Yeah.
Would he? I don't know. He played 8 minutes in the first quarter, and then he returned with only 2.5 minutes gone in the second quarter. And then he played 17 seconds before getting his third foul. So maybe you're right. Like, maybe those minutes were just taken and reallocated to the second half. That's possible.
Yeah, I don't know.
But if that wasn't the case, he would have played around 38 minutes.
That's fine.
So, yeah.
I wish he would have.
Let me ask you a serious question, though, and then we'll talk about the winning lineups.
Yeah.
What is wrong with the Raptors? I don't tell me Kawhi. Obviously we know that Kawhi makes a big difference, but they're like 17 and 26. This has been a really bad basketball team, and they've lost to some even worse squads.
I mean, I think it's two major things. One, they did have like a relatively large COVID chunk there over the past couple of weeks. That hasn't been great.
Yep. And I think a lot of
two, this is really the easy one. It must suck to be in Florida. Like, they're not at home. They're a team that aren't playing home games at all. They're away from everything. And I think that's like, you know, they've been a really good team for years now. And that culminated in an NBA title. And last year they were good. I mean, you know, one of the best teams in the East. You wouldn't have been surprised if Toronto went straight back. Obviously, like, you know, not having Kawhi is huge, but they were a fantastic team again last year. That's a long grind after the bubble to come back and just still not be able to go back to Toronto. Like, at some point in time, this was going to become like they were going to need some sort of consolidation year. And I think that's just what we're seeing.
All right. Fair enough. But they're living in Florida. It's not Kansas. And no disrespect to you Kansas folk, but Florida is a pretty nice place. So.
Yeah. But not if like you're not, if you don't live there and you have to be living somewhere. Like, it's one thing for Kyle Lowry or Fred VanVleet or Pascal Siakam, because you could just rent some baller house and live like a normal person. But if you're, I don't know, like Chris Boucher or something like that, you know, like he obviously makes good money, but you're totally uprooting your life to live randomly somewhere else and then continue to play basketball in front of nobody, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan's got a nicer place than Chris Boucher.
Well, yeah, Jordan's got a nicer place than all of us put together.
All right, what do you say, Jordan Klein? Pull this up, and we'll hit the $15 fadeaway, 300K up top yesterday. What went down, Josh?
Yeah, so winner of the shoot-around last night, Black Magic 978, which I guess is like Hot Magic's stepbrother or something along those lines. Who knows? Winning lineup. By the way, I thought that was going to get a smile, so I could tell you're just like looking at chat or not even listening.
I was go ahead.
Thought I made a decent answer.
Go ahead. I was reading someone in chat that was talking about how Nick Nurse can't hold together a team that Dwayne Casey built. So go ahead.
Jeez, what a terrible take that is. No, so the guy that won the shoot around single bullet, Black Magic 978, which I said was Hot Magic's stepbrother. It's not a good joke. I don't like repeating it because it's not all that good.
It's so bad that it made me laugh.
Right. When I saw that you didn't even change facial expressions, I knew that you never heard a single bit of it. So, you know, it's
100% accurate.
It's experience. So, John Wall, Drew Holiday, Pat Connaughton. This is the big one. Kyle Anderson goes for 42.75 at 3% ownership. That entire Memphis team can just fall off a cliff. Karl Anthony Towns, Chris Middleton, Sterling Brown, 4,400, and then Moses Brown. So the dueling Brown combo to win it all. Love that Sterling Brown play for 41 fantasy points. Obviously, you don't expect Sterling Brown to get 41 fantasy points, but and even that price tag is a little weird. Once things started opening up, for Houston, he looked like a much better option. The Kyle Anderson one, though. I mean, sometimes you're just going to get slow-mo right, and that just happened to be one of those days.
Yeah, it did. And the Milwaukee game was nuts. They were up like 28-7 early in that game. Drew Holiday just went on a torrid pace early on.
Yeah.
And then Bobby Portis was pretty – was Portis in the winning lineup?
Nope.
He wasn't. Okay.
No.
He had to – I mean, he had to have finished with a – really solid game, though.
Yeah, he did. There's no, he was the highest owned player. He went for 9.3x, 38 fantasy points, just 25 minutes. And that was sort of my worry. I didn't really know what they were going to do there. I projected him for 26, thought he was still like a really good play, but the variability in what he was going to be able to do last night was huge.
Yeah, I was a bit concerned about that as well, but ultimately I came to the conclusion that Bobby Portis is a 1.13 DraftKings point per minute player. And at that price, like if he was 5,500, where he's been a lot this year, surprisingly, then I want nothing to do with it. But, you know, we played Ersan Ilyasova a whole lot when thinking he might only get 22 to 24 minutes at the same price. So if we're playing him, I'll play Bobby Portis as well, you know?
Yeah, to me, it was a no-brainer. I was pretty happy to get away from Devontae Graham. He was ultimately a failure, so that felt pretty good. Moses Brown looked great early. The chalk was great. Chris Middleton, you can't really ask for much more there at big ownership. Jaylen Brown, ultimately with Jason Tatum getting ruled out late, he was good. I expected a little bit more out of Marcus Smart. He still went for 5.8x, but I kind of loaded up on Smart once we got all that news in that 8 to 8:30 window last night. Didn't work out the way that I wanted. I also sort of avoided Zubac. He was fine, passable. That was another one that I wasn't too sure of last night.
Yeah, I got to more Zubac than Moses Brown, and they basically did the exact same thing, so it didn't make a difference. But also tried to get a decent amount of Terry Rozier as well, just because he was single-digit ownership without LaMelo Ball, which I thought was pretty interesting. He had a good enough game, but, you know, it was one of those nights. And Black Magic, congratulations. Would you say that lineup for on a scale from 1 to 10, your personal experience, how much do you like the build there on that lineup?
Honestly, like it looks pretty good. I don't really getting to Towns and Moses Brown in the same lineup is a little concerning to me. But not anything really? That I would have like. Yeah, I don't really love having, like, it's not something that I account for generally, but having two centers against each other, two guys that are going to naturally pull away from each other in the stat that they get the most is just a little bit of a concern. But I think Moses Brown, just because of his price and his role, didn't really matter as much. I was not getting to Kyle Anderson. I thought he wasn't a very good play yesterday. So that's not something that I would have had. I like the Sterling Brown low-owned play. Look, it worked out. But to think that Kyle Anderson was going for 43 yesterday, I mean, that was like a 1% outcome.
For sure. Yeah, I'd be hard-pressed to think that Anderson and Brown end up in a lot of the same lineups for me. But, hey,
yeah,
win. And having $3.
How many people do you think had Anderson and Brown in the same lineup?
Like three?
Yeah, I'm going to try to figure it out right now. What did I say that he was owned?
Anderson
is 3.2, Sterling Brown 2.7. I don't know. There's no like quick way to find that on the side thing. 3.2. Kyle Anderson and Sterling Brown were in 21 of the 26,000 lineups.
Okay. More than I thought, actually.
You know who had the most of them?
Who?
That would be Rinpak, who had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Rinpak had 5 of the 21.
Wow. Okay, so he had 25% basically of all Sterling Brown and Kyle Anderson lineups.
He had 5. Kurt Brannigan had 3. Dr. Carl and Ending had 2. And then Black Magic had the 1.
Sometimes that's what it takes to get a win. And having $3 made a lot of sense to me, right?
Yeah.
Holiday Middleton Portis was undoubtedly the most popular trio. Yeah. I don't even have to look it up. I know that we all know that. The most, yep, with all of them in it. And Portis had power forward eligibility, which was huge. So you ready to dive into this?
Hell yeah.
Let's do it. We got Denver. We got Orlando. Denver Nuggets on the road here. They are laying 7.5, 216.5 total. We'll get to the Ross and Chase and Randall news once we get to Orlando. But when it comes to Denver, there's really not much going on outside of the fact that Monte Morris is out again and Gary Harris. Mike Malone said he's out for the foreseeable future, but it really doesn't even matter.
Not right now, it doesn't. And you kind of know what you're getting out of Denver. I think Jokic, Murray, and Porter look different shades of good. I think PJ Dozier on DraftKings for 3,600 is a viable value play. And then you're really not worried about all that much. I mean, Will Barton's fine, I guess. But if I'm looking at this game, I think Jokic is at the top of the heap at 10-7. I think Murray at 7,100 on DraftKings is a really, really nice price tag. I think he's going under-owned. He's 7,800 on FanDuel. That price tag seems a little bit more reasonable to me. He's been himself, but he has the ability to pop off against every single team, every single night. And I like getting him when his ownership is oddly low. And to me, 12% on a 6-gamer is oddly low.
It does feel low. It does. And Jamal Murray is one of those guys, I think you and I had this conversation that I think we disagreed on it a little bit when I said that he's streaky, kind of boom or bust. But if he's coming in on a 6-gamer at only 12% and you're not having to pay a premium for him, remember, Jamal Murray not long ago was $8,900, $8,800, $8,600. Right. Like, you know, you're paying a lot more for him than you would be now. He's a huge discount from where he was. And he is the clear number 2 option on this team. So I'm with you there. Plus, Jamal Murray could rip off 30 field goal attempts in a game and it wouldn't shock you. So
not at all. That's the thing. And the more he's succeeding, the more he's going to shoot and the more no one cares that that's happening.
Yep.
He has that sort of vibe where once it gets going, everybody's taking a step back.
Right. And dude, the high end on this slate is crazy because Harden's questionable.
Yeah.
LeBron is out. Embiid is out. Irving is out. Steph Curry is out. There's a lot of names in that 9K and up range, but also a lot of rednecks to him as well.
Rednecks.
That's not what I said, but it did sound like
a lot of rednecks at the top.
Do you have anything else that you like from Denver?
Michael Porter Jr., 6,500 on FanDuel is probably my favorite play from Denver, just from a position standpoint, salary standpoint. I think he's easiest to get to. Like Jokic on a raw basis grades out better, but just the way that the positions are set up today, I think Porter for 6,500 against Orlando stands out as someone I'm looking to get to.
Okay. The Orlando side, Terrence Ross questionable, and then you've got Chase and Randall also questionable. So just the guards and wings have been decimated. You want to talk about a team that's been decimated by injuries all year long. This has been one of them. You know, they get one back, they lose two, but they're for the most part healthy. Gordon's back. Evan Fournier's healthy. Vooch has been healthy. MCW's healthy. So they have enough here, Josh. How much do these injuries potentially impact our opinions on Orlando today?
So I have Ross in and Randall in right now, and I basically have Orlando as essentially unplayable. Okay. Aaron Gordon at 9.4% ownership on DraftKings is the highest owned guy on DK. I think that's a little high. I don't have anybody higher than Vooch at 7. So I'm not truly looking at Orlando from a DK perspective. On FanDuel, I think Aaron Gordon for 6,300 is in play, but he's already picking up 20% ownership. To me, that feels a little high. Now, if Ross ends up out or Randall ends up out and he's getting a little bit more facilitation duties, I think it's decent. But 217 total, they're 7.5-point dogs. No part of this game from the Orlando side looks like something that I would really like to get to.
Thank you for the super chat. Gaming with Garavilia. I'm assuming, or it's maybe Garavaglia. That might be it.
Dude, G-W-G. I don't know what you're saying.
What's up?
What are you talking about?
That is
that a person?
That is the name of the person that super chatted us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Winning with Awesomeo. First place, 5K showdown, $500+ yesterday. Love the shows. Thanks, man. Appreciate the support and congratulations.
Get it.
Let's go to Washington and New York then, because there we don't need to spend too much time on games that we're not really enamored with here, even though there's only six of them. Washington Wizards on the road. They are, what do we got? 2.5 point dogs, 224 total. The New York Knicks have actually been a decent team this year. Their defense is good. I just watched them a couple of times recently against the Sixers too, and their defense down the stretch is really good. And I tweeted this the other day, Josh, that Julius Randle's legit. He is really legit. It's not just bad team, decent player that looks really good. Of course, I'm not saying if you put him alongside Kevin Durant and James Harden that he's going to be doing what he's done over the past few months, but Julius Randle's really good.
I didn't expect this out of him.
Me neither.
That much I could tell you. He's been unequivocally the best Nick. I don't even think it's particularly close. I like it. I assume that when they originally signed him, that was going to be just a, I don't want to say a waste of money, but he was just going to like cash his checks and wait for 2 years and then move on. And now he's going to get paid, and he should. He's 26 years old. Yeah, this is exactly what you're looking for. It's been worth like 3.5 wins so far. Team Julius Randle. I think he looks great today too.
Yeah, but me too.
We'll get to that after Washington, I guess.
Yeah, we'll start with Washington. Ownership right now, preliminary ownership, of course, it changes throughout the day. It's always going to be more accurate the closer you are to lock. If you guys haven't checked it out, awesomeo.com/join. Ownership, player projections, the top stack tool, boom bust tool, lineup builder, all of our premium articles, all of the other data that we have, you know, Data Central, just so many tools that I honestly don't have enough time to go through it all. Someone once said a couple of weeks ago, oh man, why would I sign up when you guys are always giving out free content each day? We give out like one or two pieces of free content and we have 100 tools on the site. Like, yeah. Josh, it's an insane thought that one day we give away projections because we want you guys to see what we have. We want you guys to see the tools that are built by Awesomeo himself, number one ranked DFS player that uses these tools to win a ton of money. We don't just give away the farm.
No, not at all. Like, you're not getting free projections every day. You're getting free projections once every 2 weeks, you know, at best. Right. You're getting a free something probably, but it's a rotation of everything so that you can get an idea of what's behind the paywall before you subscribe. It's the perfect way to sample without having to buy.
Exactly. Right. It's like getting a sample of ice cream at the grocery store. You say, I like it. I don't like it. I like it. I'll buy it.
Right. Yeah. I used to do this at Costco all the time. Now, thanks a lot, COVID. No more Costco samples.
Oh, I didn't know you worked as a sampler.
I work as an eater of those samples.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We got the Fantasy Cruncher add-on too. And by the way, all these tools, they're not just for basketball, hockey, golf, NASCAR, football, baseball, MMA, esports, college basketball. Like, we have all of these tools for everything. If they have content or contests on these sites, we've got content for them. So check it out at awesomeo.com/join. And one thing I always stress, sign up. When you sign up, join our premium Slack chat, right? It comes with the premium sub. And you have office hours where you have some really, really good players answering your questions. Guys that have won a ton of money playing DFS, answering your questions in office hours in a more intimate setting than you have here on YouTube. So awesomeo.com/join. Check it out. We got subs for a week, a month, a year, less than $4 a week, whatever you want. We've got you regardless of your budget or your style of play. On to the Washington Wizards, Josh. Russell Westbrook is really, really good for DFS purposes. And now he's averaging 0.3 rebounds under a triple-double on the season. So I don't care if they win games or not. This guy just comes out and rips off huge triple-doubles every single night.
Yeah, this is an interesting game in that it's a matchup between the unequivocally fastest team in the league against the absolute slowest team in the league.
One of the best defenses.
Well, I could quibble on that one, but we don't have to.
I think they're a top 10 defense for sure.
It's probably close. Right. They've had some incredibly fortuitous shooting luck so far this season. It doesn't come out in the defensive ratings, but neither here nor there. It's not like, by all accounts, it's a terrible DFS matchup. Whether they're 10th or 15th or 3rd, either way, they're slow and not bad at defense. That much I can say. So I like getting to Beal or Russ or Rui. Those are pretty much the only guys that I have any interest in. But because of the matchup, I think that I'm going to be a little bit more muted than the public seems to be. We've got Russ projected for 16% ownership on FanDuel right now, 11 on DK. I'm coming in under that number. Beal, I think, is a bit about properly rated. Rui is coming in with 20% ownership on FanDuel at 5,200. I'm well south of that number. To me, it's Beal is the guy that I'm cool with getting no matter what. A little bit of Russ seems okay, but I prefer like all of the other payup options compared to Russ, including Julius Randle in this matchup.
I do too. And I've played Russ a lot lately among the high priced guys. He just seems to be underpriced or under owned all the time. But now, Josh, you've seen his price point come up a lot. Like he was 10-2 just the other day, and now he's 10-8, at least on DraftKings. So what are you doing?
What are you doing over there? Everything froze. You were frozen. You and Jordan weren't in the Zoom. I didn't know if it was me or you guys, so I just kept talking. Yeah,
I think it was you. I was watching you freak out on the other side of the screen.
Oh, yeah, I saw nothing. Both of you two were gray boxes.
Okay, well, we're back. So it's a shit matchup for Westbrook and pretty much everyone on this team. Do you have any interest in saying, all right, well, Bradley Beal, I guess, is cheap enough, or do we just not really go to the Washington Wizards today?
I'm willing to get to a little bit of Bradley Beal just because he's $1,500 cheaper than Russ on FanDuel and $1,400 cheaper on DraftKings. And I don't think that their ceilings are. I mean, they're certainly different because Russ could have like a 40-point triple-double. But at 96 or 9,400 for Beal, if he's just the guy that's getting the scoring, I'm okay going there. I think it's easier to spend up elsewhere than Russ today in this matchup.
Andrew. A routine supporter, regular here. What's up, Andrew? Says with the super chat, do you think Oral Roberts will win their next game? I have no idea.
Is that a basketball thing?
Right. Not because I don't know if they're good enough, but because I don't know nearly. That's a great question to ask Ben Rasa or Matt Gajewski. Yeah. They can help you out with that. But still, thank you for the super chat.
I've got an Oral Robert playlist bookmarked at Pornhub, but other than that, I got nothing.
If that was the name of a porn actress, I wouldn't blame
Oral Roberta?
Yeah. No, Roberts would be her last name.
And she's first name. That works. Yeah. Okay, that works. That
Oral.
Works. Ah, Oral. There we go.
Do you like the New York Knicks in a spot where, well, by the way, the problem here is not the matchup because the Washington Wizards play at a lightning fast pace. They have a bottom five defense on the season. All of that is spectacular. But I guess now the question is, what are we doing with all of these injuries? You have Derrick Rose, who passed through COVID protocol, but it looks like he still has to get conditioned before he returns.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you have him in today? Because from what I saw, it didn't look like, okay, me neither. And then you have Peyton questionable, Quickly's probable, Mitchell Robinson's questionable. There's a lot of moving parts and unknowns here.
I have a sneaky suspicion by the time this show's over, we're going to get one of those messages from Tom that's like, okay, dial it back. Like, because David Evans in chat just said something, and I would like to go in on that a little bit, and I'm just going to go ahead and just sit back and talk about the Knicks instead. So, 10K Julius
Randle. He's not wrong, though.
I mean, I don't think that he wasted it at all. It ended up with him having HIV, so it seems like he used that name perfectly.
Oh, well, I didn't think it was, okay, now dial it back. I'm not following you down this path.
See, that's what I'm trying to say, man. 10K Julius Randle on FanDuel, 9,900 on DK. To me, he's going significantly under-owned. I just want to get to a lot.
Hold on. S&P goes, I mean, Magic had a porn career. The cameras just weren't on.
Exactly.
All right,
exactly.
We're done. Go ahead.
I think Randle looks fantastic. I think the pace up spot for Randle and the Knicks is incredible. They gained like five extra possessions. That's like three fantasy points for Randle. He's one of my favorite plays of the day. I think he's going pretty significantly underowned. Like he's 10% owned on DraftKings at 9,900. I'm just in for that number. This is as good of a spot as you're going to find for the Knicks. So people give me Randle.
Sorry, people just don't want to pay for Julius Randle. I mean, they did the other day when there were no other top price options to pay for. But it seems that when there are other guys that are worth paying up for, people don't want to pay for Julius Randle. But he's a legitimate triple-double threat every single night, right? Yeah. He's averaging like 12, 13 potential assists per game. He's top 10 in rebound chances. And his usage does nothing but continue to climb. I mean, you're talking about someone that's playing huge minutes. Played 40 plus minutes in regulation in what, four straight games now?
Yeah, he's playing crazy. I gave him 38, and like it was up in the air for me to give him 40.
Right. Why would you not at this point if you're Tom Thibodeau? Right. We know how Tom Thibodeau runs his rotations. Do you remember Jimmy Butler literally playing 40 plus minutes every night?
He was playing Luol Deng like 38 minutes and he had like fractured vertebrae in his back.
I know. So it wouldn't shock me at all for Randle to get 40 plus minutes.
And if in the best matchup you can find in the league.
Yep. 10% right now on Julius Randle is, I think, objectively too low. But
I agree. I feel like RJ Barrett is neutrally owned to me on FanDuel at around 20%. I agree there. I think he's underowned on DK. But here's the big one, and I'm curious to get your thoughts. Nerlens Noel is $4,800. He is projected to be fully unowned right now. Mitchell Robinson did not start the last game. Nerlens Noel played.
And he's questionable.
Yeah. Nerlens Noel played massive minutes again, played 36 minutes. Even if you want to give Mitchell Robinson more minutes and say that he and Nerlens Noel split the center minutes, because they took Taj Gibson clean out of the rotation, I gave it 28 and 20 for these two guys today. If that's the case, or even if you want to go 26-22, I think Nerlens Noel is just underpriced for this spot, especially if he's not getting any ownership. This is not a matchup where you're like, oh no, Nerlens Noel is not going to fit against Washington. What are we doing here? Like 0.3% ownership? I assume that number comes up. I have him like 15% of the time in the optimal.
In most other lineups, if Mitchell Robinson was in, I would just probably find a different place to go here. But because it's against the Wizards, and because the New York Knicks play at such a slow pace themselves, it is such an upgrade in matchup for this for the entire team. And for Nerlens Noel, you're going to see more rebounding opportunities, more shot blocking opportunities. And he played 36 minutes last game. So if all of that is in the cards, then it makes sense to me. Now, granted, they have played some just heinous games recently, just super low scoring games. That Philly game was 100-101, but that went through 5 minutes in overtime and would have been a much lower scoring game. So that sucks. But when you're facing Washington, you're at least getting a sizable bump in pace. Washington leads the league in pace by a wide margin. So
I have it as 4.7 possessions over the Knicks average.
That's a ton. It's a ton. Yeah. I'm with you. I think it's a perfectly reasonable play, especially if nobody's going there. Now, if it ends up that somehow Nerlens Noel's ownership skyrockets throughout the day, and then we'll move on from this one. What about if Mitchell Robinson ends up being out and then Nerlens Noel's ownership goes much higher?
I don't know how much it would change.
Okay.
Honestly. Like, I think that they would just
opinion or how much his ownership would change.
I don't know why his ownership would change. I think that they just take those Mitchell Robinson minutes and just give them to Taj Gibson again. Like if Nerlens Noel was able to play 36 minutes in the most recent game, call it 31 because of overtime. Again, I'm projecting at 28, so I'm not even going that entire direction. Mitchell Robinson played 17 minutes. I just assume those 17 minutes go to Taj Gibson and it's a wash. I would actually give Taj more. In this case, again, I would give him 20 that I'm giving Mitchell Robinson. It doesn't change my outlook. I don't know why it would change anybody in the public.
Double R with the super chat says, Josh, if you put the Lakers young core back together, how good would they be right now? Ingram, Randle, Clarkson, Lonzo, they'd be like a 500 team.
Yeah, they wouldn't be that good.
It wouldn't be that good. It's the truth. No, they wouldn't be that good. Ingram has contributed to like no... Ingram's a nice player when it comes to stats, but if we're being completely honest, That team every year should be better than they are, and yeah. this year included, and they continue to lose basketball games no matter who's at the helm. So, yeah.
I'm not a huge Jordan Clarkson fan, so that's not an upgrade to me at all.
Well, Clarkson is a perfect fit on a team like Utah where he's yeah. – where he helps them a lot off the bench, but he's yep. not the core piece. He's just, you know, he's an integral piece, but they could still win games without him. Ingram, Randall, Clarkson, Lonzo, core would be, in my opinion, Josh, in the West, the 500 team. I don't know what you think, but.
Now, like it would be really interesting to see that team if it were these guys growing Lonzo, LeBron, Ingram, Randall, insert other people here. I think that's a fun, like, I think that's an actual solid team, but just as the young guys, they don't have that guy. None of those guys are a core piece.
Yep.
And I love the way Randall's playing right now. I'm probably way higher on Lonzo than most.
Bubble says, Laffy, you like the over? Now, I know it's a fast-paced game, but 224 points is still a lot for this Knicks team. I'll probably stay away from that. Let's talk about the Lakers and the New Orleans Pelicans. Lakers without LeBron, still without Anthony Davis, might be without Marcus Gasol. That's clearly the least of their worries right now. 6-point dogs, 220 total against that same Pels team we were just discussing. Let's do this, man. Let's start from the top, work our way down, and figure out what this rotation is going to look like without LeBron James in it.
Oh, God. There is a lot of not great on this team right now. So Montrezl Harrell is just going to soak up as many center minutes as he can play. They don't really have like a legitimate backup center that's available. I don't think it's going to be Marc Gasol today, but even if it is, it's not like Marc Gasol is going out there to play 20 plus minutes. So I gave Harrell 32. He's 7,500 on FanDuel, 6,800 on DK. One of my favorite plays of the slate. And I think that he's going a little bit under-owned. Like Devontae Kakak is the only other guy that's a true center on this team. Markieff Morris isn't just going to soak up a ton of time against Steven Adams or he's going to get destroyed. I think Schroeder looks good. Again, you know, he's going to be taking on the lion's share of the creation. Kuzma is 6,500 and 6,800. Talen Horton Tucker is 6K on FanDuel. No thank you on that price tag, but he's only projected for 2% ownership. So now I actually have to look at him. 5,500 on DK, projected for 6% ownership. I like that. Caruso and KCP are getting some ownership. Not really my cup of tea, but Harrell, Schroeder, Kuzma, and unfortunately THT. You got to look at a lot of the Lakers today with LeBron out.
I honestly thought that we'd be seeing higher aggregate ownership on the Lakers than we are right now.
I think they're already slowly getting priced up. Like THT being 6K on FanDuel, that's a quick move.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. Right, because they're in good spots, but are they in a good enough spot? The thing, though, too, is this is a Pelicans team that I know the total is only 220. That's actually significantly lower than I thought it would be. Yeah. But the Pels make for a very good matchup. There's just no doubt about that. They have the third worst defensive rating in the league. I know they don't play at a lightning fast pace, but they play at a middle of the league pace, right? Right in the middle of the league. So really bad defense. Really fast pace. And another thing to consider that isn't talked about a lot, the Pelicans have a top 7 offensive rating too. So they're going to score points and they're going to give up a ton of points. There was a game that I bet the over on, it would be this one, because even without LeBron and Davis, I think the Lakers can still hang. I just have no confidence in this Pelicans team to win games comfortably at this point, although they really should tonight. They should.
Don't be too confident in that real they can still hang thing. I think this is why you see such a low total. With LeBron James and Anthony Davis off the floor this year, in 762 possessions, they have a 104.5 offensive rating. That's a 10th percentile outcome. Oddly enough, though, 109 defensive rating, that's 79th percentile. For some strange reason, and I don't really know what it is, their defense is actually holding up with Montrezl Harrell at the center position.
Yeah, that is strange. Now, granted, by the way, this was an indictment on the Pelicans and not me giving much credit to Lakers. But
they're creating a ton of turnovers as a defense when LeBron and AD are off. So I think that's driving a lot of it. They're just going balls to the wall to try to make people cough it up.
Would you say you have any top options from the Lakers? You mentioned all of those other guys, but are any of them, like is Dennis Schroeder – still sub 7K, mid 6K on DraftKings. Would you consider that a top option? Because I'm going to have a tough time getting away from him against the Pels.
Yeah, I think Schroeder is a top option. I think Montrezl Harrell is even better than that. Okay. Those two guys on DK, I love. Harrell, Schroeder, and Kuzma are all pretty neutral to me on FanDuel. Like $7,500 Montrezl Harrell is expensive, but there's six games on this slate. Like it's for him to be 8% owned on FanDuel, I'm just going to be over that number for a starting center of his quality. We're talking about a 1.25 fantasy point per minute guy. But Harrell and Schroeder on DraftKings are key plays to me. Kuzma and THT are certainly parts of heavy parts of my player pool.
Okay. Yeah. I just, the one thing I obviously like a lot about Dennis Schroeder is he's going to have every opportunity to distribute, to be the point man, to bring the ball up the court and really take over that role that LeBron James had, unless you think it'll be someone else.
It kind of just has to be him.
That's what I'm saying. By default, he's got to be that guy. And I haven't looked it up, and AMF is running super slow right now, but I just wanted to pull up his per minute production.
They're probably going
to
run pretty slow for a while. They got shouted out and written up on 137 PM. So
what's that?
Admore Funds got written up on Gary Vaynerchuk's like guys blog about Top Shot. So they might be getting a bit of traffic today.
All right. So that means that he's late to the party again. That guy has lost so many people money. I'm telling you.
I wholeheartedly disagree with you and have wanted to disagree with you in our private Slack channel, but I don't have the energy.
I'm not saying what he's doing is done for the wrong reasons, because I don't think he is. But when you're going out there and telling people to jump into something and you're telling them to jump into something after it's been fully established, like telling people to jump into Top Shots in Top Shot in late February was an awful idea.
I don't agree with you.
Okay. Well, you don't have to, because you're wrong.
Like, no, he didn't say just do it blindly. It's the same path as cards. I listen to everything he puts out. Literally everything.
The people, but you're at least a somewhat, at times, occasionally measured person.
Sure.
The people that listen to him, and not everybody, but a large group of people that listen to him, and by the way, they would have lost their money somewhere else anyway. Right? I fully believe that. But so many of these people hear something and they jump right into it. When you're saying Top Shot is the next big thing, jump, it's time. What I'm saying is he hasn't been early to the party on any of these things. I don't really think there's any argument there. Is he early to the party on a macro scale? Maybe, I guess. But a lot of these things, he has been late in terms of like the overall massive push. He's not creating this push as much as you'd think he is. Of course, he's bringing in a bunch of new people to the ecosystem, but Top Shot already had a ton of people before he said anything about it.
Agree to disagree.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I was hoping you'd have a little fire in your belly, but I guess not.
Not a road I want to go down right now.
Why is that?
Because the show will be over.
Oh, okay. Well, fair enough. Dennis Schroeder, 1.08 DraftKings points per minute in 260 minutes without Davis and LeBron on the floor. And usage is what, 28%? Harrell's at 28% usage as well in those situations. So I think, you know, you make a good point about Harrell being the guy. 1.31 DraftKings points per minute for Harrell with Anthony Davis and LeBron off in just over 300 minutes.
Yeah, he looks fantastic. People probably look at the $7,500 price tag on him on FanDuel and think, like, no way can I do that. But Jokic and Vooch are both plus over 10K. He's the next most expensive center at 7,500. The guys below him, Ayton, Cantor, Dwight Howard, Adams, Nerlens Noel, Kelly Olynyk. Like, are you confident in any of those guys being the nuts for today? I'd much rather have Harrell at 30 plus minutes with no LeBron and AD.
Yep, I'm with you. Double R says, how aggressive should the Clippers be in going after Lonzo? Thank you for the super chat. Josh, I don't know. What do you say?
Depends what they give up. I mean, the cupboard is bare in terms of picks. You know, if it's costing you like Luke Kennard and something else, then obviously do it no matter what. I don't know how they pull it off easily.
All right. What do you like from the Pels against the Lakers team that, like you said, bad defensively, good or bad offensively, good defensively without LeBron and Davis?
Yeah. So Zion, as per usual, 8,600 on FanDuel, 8,700 on DK. I think he looks really good on FanDuel, given the way the position is set up today. We'll get to the punching bag from earlier today. Brandon Ingram, 7,600 and 7,800. Again, six game slate against the Lakers. You know, maybe there's some sort of revenge narrative you want to hitch your wagon to, but ultimately he's just, you know, an upper mid tier price guy that you should probably have in like 15 to 20% of your lineups. I like the value options a little bit more. Well, so value, mid-tier value. Like, I think Lonzo at 6,800 on DraftKings is a little bit underpriced and significantly underowned. I think Steven Adams is a little bit underowned on DK, just given what the center position looks like today. Those are really the guys that I'm looking at most. I think you could sprinkle in some Josh Hart or some Bledsoe, and that's fine. But Bledsoe has just been so bad.
Awful.
0.73 FanDuel points per minute over the last 30 days. It's not like he's nursing an injury. He's like he plays 30 minutes a game. He's just unequivocally terrible right now.
Shocking how bad he's been. Absolutely shocking.
Really bad.
The only real significant ownership on either site is Ingram on FanDuel.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit of Ingram on DraftKings right now, a little bit of Zion on FanDuel, around 15%, but Ingram is the one player on FanDuel. And I guess 7,600 at small forward is going to do that for you.
Yeah, it's just to me, you kind of got to get there at small forward. Most expensive guy is Jimmy Butler at 9,500. You get Ingram $1,900 cheaper than that, and then you get Evan Fournier $1,000 cheaper than that. So at some point in time on a six game slate, raw points just matter. And I don't think Brandon Ingram is expensive enough for that to be a problem. So I think that the ownership is more than warranted.
The totals in today's games are really low.
Yeah,
really low.
Except for Nets Blazers.
Yeah, exactly. 216, 224, 220. And now we get to Phoenix and Miami. That's 215.5. Should be a close game. Phoenix only favored by 1 point on the road. But it's just another one of those spots, Josh, where pulling ownership up now, again, on a six-game slate, you're going to have to get somewhere. But this is another one. Just overall aggregate ownership seems to be very low.
Yeah, and I think that is legitimate. I actually think Phoenix is going pretty significantly over-owned here.
On FanDuel, you mean?
Yeah, well, on both sides, I guess. Okay. I don't have anybody in the green in my, like, leverage metric. So Devin Booker and Chris Paul are about, you know, 12% owned on FanDuel. Sure, whatever, that's fine. If you want to get to them, cool. Both sites, I think it's fine. But, like, I don't want Bridges or Ayton. Neither of these guys look good or picking up ownership. For some reason, we have Jay Crowder projected for 21% ownership on FanDuel. We have Cam Johnson back now. I'm not entirely sure how Jay Crowder becomes like an interesting value play. 0.7 FanDuel points per minute over his last 30 days. He's 3,900, so I understand it from a price perspective. I don't really know what the ceiling is there. I actually just put him in the syllabus as my biggest bust for today. We'll see where that ownership actually ends up. I think Phoenix is basically the worst team that you could have today outside of Orlando. And Orlando could open up some stuff with some injury news. I don't really see it for Phoenix. A Phoenix-Miami game is a fantastic game to watch and a terrible game to have a DFS outlook on.
It is. It's really bad. And the Miami side doesn't get a whole lot better. I mean, Bam's getting some love on FanDuel, around 21% at 8K. On DraftKings, he's around 11%. He's the only Miami player right now with double-digit ownership, and it's very low double-digit ownership.
Yeah, Butler and Bam, to me, are the only people that are playable from Miami on DraftKings, and even that is a bit of a stretch. Now, Goran Dragic is questionable. If he happens to be out, I think that opens up at least a little bit of additional minutes. But now that they have Trevor Ariza in the rotation, people can shift around a little bit. They didn't really have that guy that fit in that spot previously. On FanDuel, same story for me. It's Butler and Bam, but Butler for 9,500 on FanDuel, given the lack of all the guys that are normally pay-up options on this slate that aren't there, I mean, Butler's been insane as of late. Basically, the moment I started bringing up the Middleton-Butler stuff again, dude went bananas. Yeah. 1.5 fantasy points per minute over the last 30 days. He's doing his best to make me look even dumber than I normally am. I actually think he's under-owned on FanDuel today. I think Bam is slightly over-owned, but either way, it's Butler and it's Bam and it's nothing else for me from Miami. I guess Tyler Hero.
Sorry, I'm what?
I guess Tyler Hero is fine.
Well, Goran Dragic is also questionable, so.
Right. If he's out, makes you feel a little bit better about like trying to get to a little bit of Kendrick Nunn or Hero or something like that. They got enough bodies now that I don't think it's a huge deal. And I don't want to play Dragic either way.
All of these shows, by the way, can be checked out in podcast form. If you don't want to listen to them on YouTube, maybe you don't have YouTube Premium, you want to put your phone in your pocket, you're doing something throughout the day, you want to listen, you don't want to kill your battery, go to any podcast platform out there, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, you name it. We're pretty much on all of the platforms, and it's totally free to listen to as well. So check it out. Rate those podcasts and leave us a review if you don't mind while you're there and you remember. It's greatly appreciated. And be sure to check out The Deep Dive, totally free every day at awesomeo.com. Adam Scher writes that most of the time, but we have a great cast of people writing that. And today, what's the free content today? What do we got? We got NBA player projections, PGA ownership, and the NHL player projections. All of that at awesomeo.com, free. So if you don't or aren't ready to sign up yet and subscribe, check all of that stuff out. Totally free on the site today, and The Deep Dive by Adam. And Josh, of course, you have your articles. I'm not sorry, your process show at 6:30 in the morning. And then you have some pre-recorded videos that come out, should be coming out soon.
They are already out, buddy, man. Oh, I'm good. I'm good at this stuff. Contenders videos hit the airwaves before this strategy show even starts. I've got tons of content out before anybody even gets themselves started. I'm the guy you watch when you want to have your morning coffee.
That's right. And I'm still sleeping. All right. So let's move it on then. We got two games to go, Philly and Golden State. The Curry brothers will be chatting from the bench, both of them absent for this one. Philly, 3.5-point favorites, 216 total. No Seth, no Steph. Kind of weird. Would have been fun, especially. Do you think Seth would have been gunning today, especially given that Joel Embiid is out? I have a feeling that you would have seen some pretty heavy firepower coming from Seth Curry.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably.
I think he would. I think, you know, he's always said how much he hates his brother and how much he thinks he's better than him. You know,
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Just he gets apoplectic at the thought of Steph Curry.
Is anything you're saying serious right now?
Yeah, no, none of it.
I didn't think so.
None of it. But you can imagine what it'd be like, right? It being Seth Curry and your brother being Steph Curry. I'm not sure how fun that is.
I bet it's a blast because Seth Curry still makes some bank. Married living a doc's
shadow,
daughter.
Josh, living in the shadow.
That's like the coolest shadow in the world to live in.
Really?
I wouldn't mind it at all.
You wouldn't?
Other than having to tell Steph that first like Under Armour shoe was dope or something and lie to his face. Other than that.
Oh, I'd hate it, man.
Oh, it's got to be so much fun to be in that family. Can you imagine what the games of, like, knockout and stuff were like in their driveway? Jesus, Dell just smacking them around until they're, like, 20.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Who's older, Seth or Steph?
Steph, by a lot.
By a lot?
Yeah.
Is it a lot? Yeah. I feel like, I say that because I feel like Seth Curry's been in the league way longer than anyone realizes.
I mean, that might be true, but then Curry and Steph is also in the league.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, 3 years, I think. Maybe 4 years.
Yes. Seth's been in the league for like 8 years now, though.
Yeah.
It's a long time.
He's been in the league so long that like he's one of the last couple Duke guys that I still remember watching before I gave up college basketball to dive into DFS.
Crazy. I forget sometimes how long Steph's been in the league. I was just looking over his career stats the other day, and I was kind of blown away by the fact that he's been here for a long time. I mean, he's been in the league for 11 years.
Dude, and I mean, just think about his college run. I mean, that is like, he predates me living in North Carolina playing college basketball and him just going nuts in the playoffs for Davidson.
He's basically my age. It's not.
Yeah. Yeah.
You like anybody from Philly?
The whole damn team. you have to. So pace up spot, Golden State plays super quick. They're obviously, you know, it should be a close game. Both teams are missing their stars. Ben Simmons is projected for 30% ownership on FanDuel at 8,200. Fully warranted. Tobias Harris is like a 15 to 20% guy. I think Dwight Howard is like a 15 to 20% guy on FanDuel today. I like the idea of still getting to Tony Bradley for 3,900 on FanDuel. Might be over projecting him a tad. We shall see. You know, you can get to a little bit of Shake Milton as a value play. Korkmaz picked up the start the last game out. He's projected for 25% ownership on FanDuel, the flat minimum. He's $1,000 more expensive on DraftKings, which makes it a little bit more difficult to get to. So Harris, Ben Simmons, Shake Milton. I like all three of those guys the most on DK. Shake is more of like a contrarian GPP play, but I have no problem having Philly be one of the teams that I have owned the most today. Everything fits. It's a perfect matchup for them.
$4,500 Korkmaz is disgusting.
Yeah, but $3,500 Korkmaz on FanDuel is glorious.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I'm all right with that. It's just I can't stand rostering that guy. He's a headache. He's a constant headache.
I mean, you wouldn't be surprised. Like, there's a really realistic chance that he is not the starter today, right? Like, they rotate through that piece
absolutely
all over the place. Yeah,
absolutely. I like Tobias the best. I just think right now, from a ceiling standpoint, you can get some really huge games from Tobias Harris. He is a very streaky shooter, by the way, too. But he's going to shoot. And that's kind of what I care about. He did get to the line 11 times last game, but shot 5 of 18. The game prior to that, though, huge, huge game. And when he's on, he's on. So him and Simmons, both the two guys that I think at their current ownership, it actually seems a little bit low, just given that it's only a 6-game slate. I know this total's low, 216 total. Should probably be a low-scoring game, but you just can't underestimate or overstate Joel Embiid's absence and how much that affects this team.
Oh, it's massive. Yeah, so I have Tobias Harris in the optimal on DraftKings 13.2% of the time and Simmons 13.1%.
Okay.
To me, they're basically the same, and I just want to have both of them, honestly.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
How about the Golden State Warriors?
So basically the exact same thing we just talked about. Again, it's going to be a little bit different on FanDuel and DK. On DK, I love Jordan Poole at 5,600. He's been great so far, 1.12 fantasy points per minute since he's been up. He's pretty heavy chalk, 34% owned on FanDuel. I agree with it. I think Wiggins at 6,600 on FanDuel, again, or on DraftKings rather, 23% owned. I agree with it. After that, it gets a little bleak to me. Draymond, Oubre, Wiseman, because everybody's back except for Steph. Those guys look okay, but on FanDuel, I'm in for Draymond at 7K on FanDuel. He's 24% owned, though, so a little bit over-owned to me, but still very much a part of the player pool. Kelly Oubre is 5,600. He's projected for 18% ownership on FanDuel. I completely agree with it. Wiseman, $200 above the minimum, projected for 12% ownership. That's a really interesting piece. I have no idea how many minutes that guy's going to play. I gave him 22, and at 3,700, I think that's more than worth the shot. He could easily play more.
Yeah, I think at that price, you should feel pretty good about him. And there's a couple of things here that stand out. When you are facing, number one, when you're facing a Sixers team that doesn't have Joel Embiid, that's going to help you as a big man. Dwight Howard's done a phenomenal job of rebounding, so let's give him some credit. I swear he had like 100 rebounds last game. How many rebounds did Dwight have last game?
I feel like I would 13? Remember if he had 100.
No, yeah, 100 would be inaccurate, but he has double-digit rebounds in, look, I think all of the games recently that Embiid has missed. He's got 15, 13, 13, 12. He's a great rebounder. He really is, and he's still rebounding really well. He played a lot of minutes last game. His price point is absurd, but Wiseman at 3,700, that to me, for a center that – actually, I don't think Kerr wants him to, but he wants to shoot threes. He's a good young player. Could he give you a 10 and 10 double-double with a block and a couple assists? I think he could, and I wouldn't be surprised that if he played 28 minutes last game, by the way. The problem is he hasn't played since the 15th.
Yeah. I don't know what to make of Wiseman. He's been bad this year. I think that he's going to be good. I don't really know what to do with him at this point, but at 3,700 on FanDuel, I'll play the hell out of him. That's for sure.
He hasn't been bad for DFS though.
No, not at all.
And then, right. So you're talking about real life.
Yeah.
He hasn't been great, but he's averaging well over a fantasy point per minute. So let's see if he gets 24 minutes at 3,700, are you on him or are you there?
I'm on him at 22 minutes.
Okay. I only ask because, FanDuel, the kind of opportunity cost when you're talking about a center position where you can only roster one of them, and it's going to be James Wiseman.
I don't, on a day like today, I don't hate it because it's just so shallow outside of Jokic and Vooch.
Anything else from this one?
Nah, I don't think we're missing anything there. I mean, like, basically the whole game is in play, given the injuries.
All right. Andrew Kang said, do you think the Wizards speed up the Knicks or vice versa? I said both. And he said, what kind of a effed up answer is that?
The correct one?
You're thinking of it in the wrong context. The Knicks will play faster than they usually do. The Wizards will play slower than they normally do. And you'll find a middle ground there. So,
yes,
you know, yeah, it's a pace up spot for the Knicks, a pace down spot for the Wizards. Very simple.
Correct.
Very simple. Moneymaker strategy show yesterday, the one before Live Before Lock. You missed my super chat. Cash at me my money back. You can tell me what the super chat was. It's the deeper dive, not the strategy show. But I don't recall, Jordan, I don't recall him super chatting. Do you?
Either way.
Bullshit.
Either way, it's also not getting sent back to you in the Cash App. So,
yeah. All I have in there is Bitcoin anyway.
Don't hold your breath.
I don't remember seeing one. I'm pretty certain we got to everyone. I don't know. One game to go here. Let's shout out and say hi to our sponsor, No House Advantage. If you guys haven't signed up at No House Advantage yet, not sure what you're waiting for. You know, we talk about good opportunities all the time to make money in DFS and in their case, player prop betting. It's all about finding good spots. And sometimes it's a niche spot. It might be overlay. It might be getting in on a soft product where people don't know what they're doing. And you have free tools like we do at awesomeo.com to use on the site that other people don't know about. You know, at No House Advantage, we have the No House Advantage player prop projections free every day and the No House Advantage optimal lineups tool free every day. All of it right there. All you have to do is download the app and figure out how to play. It's very simple. It's peer-to-peer player prop betting, and it's in contest form, which is very cool. It's like a GPP style. So you're picking a bunch of different player props in a tournament style to win money. And you've got promo codes there as well. $20 in free match play bonus. Just use the promo code AWESEMO, AWESEMO. You got tonight's $10,000 contest. Again, there's so many reasons to play it. The match bonus, the free projections and optimal lineup tool at AWESEMO. And then Josh, just the one thing that we talk about all the time, Ben's been mentioning it forever. The props are static. They don't change throughout the day. So money is not moving them like it would on other sites. So if you know, like to consider yourself sharp or a smart enough person to figure this out, you're going to get soft lines. You're going to get stale lines every single day that other people aren't finding.
Stale lines that you can attack with free optimal lineups and projections. I don't know what else we could do here. Plus free money on your sign up if you use the promo code. It's literally the perfect package if you're trying to build a bankroll.
Yep, that's right. No House Advantage. Check it out today. Download the app. Use the promo code AWESEMO, AWESEMO. Get free $20 in match play bonus when you sign up. All right, Brooklyn, Portland. The only game with a total of 225 or higher. This sits at 232. Brooklyn Nets 4-point dogs on the road. Kyrie Irving is out. We won't get into that argument. I can tell you that much.
Yeah, you want to do that one again?
That one will stay off the stream.
What a smart gentleman.
Yeah, I try. Once in a while, I get things right. James Harden's questionable.
I meant Kyrie, not you.
Kevin Durant's still out. Blake Griffin is continuing to work his way into form. He played 15 minutes last game. So I'm assuming you have James Harden in, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So with him in, neck soreness, I think he plays too. James Harden always plays. You know, it's just the kind of guy he is, Josh.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts?
Doesn't seem to be getting him anywhere.
I don't know. It got him onto arguably the best team in the league.
Yeah, but if he would take a couple more games off, maybe he wouldn't be so tired and go 4 for 67 in the playoffs.
I'm not taking the bait.
Just saying.
James Harden, though, with Irving and Durant out against Portland, no team over the last 30 days has a worse defensive rating than Portland. They've been absolutely terrible. The only reason they're winning games is because Damian Lillard is a magician with the ball in his hands. What are we doing with Harden? I mean, it just feels so hard to say, I'll go elsewhere today.
Well, I'm not saying that on FanDuel. He's the best player on the slate. He's projected for 50% ownership on FanDuel right now. This is bonkers. Do you know why that's bonkers? Because if James Harden gets ruled out, that's 50% of ownership to the most expensive guy on the slate that has to get redistributed. The entire scope of this day changes just by James Harden, and he's already heavy chalk. and he should be. I had him as my number one contender on FanDuel. I would happily get to him on DraftKings. This spot does not get any better. We know what it's like to roster James Harden when the other stars are out. We've been doing it for years. He hangs huge numbers. I mean, he becomes a legitimate 100 fantasy point threat in games when he doesn't have the other stars on the floor. It's insane, and we've seen him do this time and time again. I'm not changing now. However, with no Kyrie, we're not stopping at Harden. Bruce Brown is projected for 30% ownership on both sites. Fully warranted, that number goes up if Harden ends up being out. Joe Harris is projected for like 20% ownership on FanDuel, a little bit less on DraftKings because he's more expensive. Fully warranted. Nick Claxton's been getting more minutes as of late. He's projected for 15% ownership on FanDuel and 27 on DK, where he's 3,900. Fully warranted. And the guy that I haven't even mentioned yet, because he's the guy that I haven't mentioned yet, Tyler Johnson is 3,100 on DraftKings, projected for 12% ownership. I think he gets the biggest boost with Kyrie being out. I gave him 28 minutes. To me, he's the best value play on the slate. And that's without, that's still with Harden in. If Harden ends up out, all of the guys that I just mentioned get even better. I don't know what you do other than just play a ton of the Brooklyn Nets today.
It's tough. And it's usually a team that you're not doing that at all with. Roll Crazy Mex says, nice Spurs hat, Josh, with a little super chat there. Appreciate you, bro.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
And Policia says, wouldn't exactly be pleased with the show's attitude towards your money, given that your question didn't get answered. What question?
Yeah. Not to mention, we have made no requirements of what a super chat ends up being. We're happy to try to get to it, but
yeah.
To be clear, it's not a window into everything.
I explicitly tell people not to super chat in the deep dive if it's a question. If it's a comment, you just want to throw some love or you want to get something read off on the show, very happy to do that. But depending on the format of certain shows, it's just tough. That's all.
Yeah.
We appreciate all the support. We do.
They are not doing the show is the priority. Super chats are, if we can get to them, we will.
And we'll very likely answer your question without the super chat anyway. You know,
right.
But it's appreciated. Yeah. Very much appreciated. And all of you guys that have become members on YouTube as well, I see the Awesomo logos. There's some sick ones too, depending on how long you're there. Really sick.
Yeah.
But you don't have to do any of that. We appreciate it though. We do. And appreciate everyone that comes in and hangs out and the premium Slack and premium subscribers over there. And while you're at it, hit that thumbs up because we only got 137 with like 650 people watching. With Portland, Damian Lillard. Absolute stud. I love this guy. Just absolutely love him. A couple games recently haven't been great, but his first game with CJ McCollum back, he ripped off 75. He still has 30-plus real points in three of his last four and three of the four games that CJ McCollum has been back. But at $10,000, you know, what are we doing with him? And by the way, 30 minutes last game, they lost by 40 points to Dallas. So you know, don't look at that at all as anything that should be taken into consideration. I guess the problem is, like, can you get to him today with James Harden being such a lovely option? Like, can you go to both of them in the same lineup?
Absolutely. Yep. There's enough value out there today. I like Dame on DK at 10K. I love Dame at 9,400 on FanDuel, as does the public, already projected for 35% ownership. But we're not drawing a line at Dame and no one else for Portland. CJ, I think for 7,500 on FanDuel, 7,400 on DraftKings. Happy to go there. We're just going to run into a game where CJ just plays 37 minutes again, and I would like to be there before that happens. And a matchup against Brooklyn seems like a perfect opportunity to try to hop onto that train. Covington, this matchup to me is perfect for him. 6,100 on FanDuel, 5,700 on DraftKings. They don't really need a ton of center minutes. You know, like they're perfectly set up for Covington to be the nominal five for big chunks of this game. I think that fits. I have him playing 35 minutes. Works for me as a value option if you need it. Derrick Jones is 3,700 on DK. That's another pay down option if you need one. I can get to Melo. I can even get to Gary Trent at 4,700 on DraftKings at no ownership. I basically want everybody that's going to play 25 or more minutes for the Blazers today. This is the game that will have the most exposure for me. It's not even close.
Okay. And I don't think it should be, honestly. It's just monster ownership across the board. The James Harden news is huge. Like, if he ends up sitting and they just kind of concede this game because they're already without their two top guys, if he ends up sitting, it blows everything up.
Yeah, it changes literally everything. Like, Nikola Jokic's ownership, if James Harden gets ruled out, will change dramatically because there just aren't that many other guys to pay up for. It's nuts.
One piece of advice, by the way, guys, certain books, I can't say which ones, are very slow on the trigger to pull games off the board when news breaks. I have alerts set up that go straight to my phone. And the moment I get that, if it's big news, I hit the other team and I hit them hard. And usually you have about a minute to a minute. I mean, usually a minute. Let's say a minute. But you can get in there, Josh, and catch like a 5-point swing before it happens. If James Harden ends up being ruled out, and we have that information earlier today. Now, mind you, you have to be careful that it's not already baked into the line. But if he goes out and that goes off the board, it's coming back at like Portland minus 10.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a dramatic change.
Yep. Come back at Portland minus 10. You get him at 4. So pay attention to that. Like, if you want to be able to get good bets and beat the line, usually you with DK, you can take like a minute before it's gone. And a minute is usually all you need. So check it out. Andrew Kang, we can close it with this, says, what's up, guys? For pay up, do you prefer Randall or Butler tonight? Do you think the Wizards' fast pace benefits Randall and Barrett? Yeah, no, we explicitly said that earlier. It absolutely benefits them a lot. Just because it slows the game down, just because it slows down for Washington doesn't mean it slows down for New York. Actually, it speeds it up a lot. Do you prefer Randall or Butler tonight, Josh?
On FanDuel, it's Randall. On DraftKings, it's even more Randall.
Okay. Yeah, Randall for me too. Last thing. With Portland and Brooklyn, right now, assuming James Harden is in, who are your top options from each side?
Damian Lillard and James Harden.
Okay. Any kind of peripheral guys that you really like right now?
CJ and Covington on FanDuel. Derek Jones Jr., Covington, and CJ on DraftKings. Claxton, Bruce Brown, Tyler Johnson, Joe Harris. I mean, it's the whole damn game.
Yeah, it's a great game. It's the only game that has like that real curb appeal before you dig into it.
It really, really helps that Sixers-Warriors game is also at 10 to give you a little bit of additional wiggle room if you need a late swap and we don't have Harden news. Because if this game were on an island, boy, oh boy, would you be hanging yourself out there. Because if James Harden sits, you don't exactly have a ton to get to afterwards.
Right. So it's not going to be a one-for-one swap, but you could go to like a Tobias Harris or a Ben Simmons or something.
Yeah.
Or Damian Lillard in the event that he's not in the lineups that you have Harden in.
Right. And the good thing about this game is you should have a ton of ownership either way. So making moves around these lineups, I'm going to have a lot of pieces left. And I like Philly and the Warriors as well. So like I'm going to have most of my exposure in the 10 o'clock games, which makes swapping a lot easier.
If Blake Griffin was playing his full allotment of minutes and Harden was out, that would make for a fun one. But I don't think that'll be the case. So.
No, not at all.
Like, is it going to be Bruce Brown? I feel like it's just going to be, we're going to see a ton of Bruce Brown.
Yeah, you're going to see a ton of Bruce Brown for sure. If we're talking about if Harden is out, like, either way.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a lot of Bruce Brown. Chris Chioza goes from not playing to probably one of the better value plays of the day. I have to assume he would then start at the point guard spot. It would just get pretty, pretty wacky. Tyler Johnson, I already mentioned, he would be even better of a play. Like, it gets crazy.
Yeah, it's going to get wild for sure. Anyway, that'll do it for us today, guys. Thanks as always for hanging out. Sorry, we get off track sometimes, but hopefully you enjoy the conversation and always happy to bring you guys in on it as well. The chat, the comments, leave a comment after the show if you're watching now or if you're watching after it's out, and check it out on podcast form if that's easier for you as well. Hit that thumbs up before you go and be sure to check out all of our content coming up. Josh's contenders are already out. His process show early every morning is something that if you haven't seen yet, I would certainly recommend checking it out. And because it's Awesomo's YouTube channel, we got stuff all day long. The PGA strategy show at 2 p.m., the NHL strategy show at 3, the daily game plan behind the paywall with Sean's on 3 p.m., tip-off 4 p.m., deeper dive live before lock going from 5 all the way up to 7, and then closing out the day, the NBA late slate swap and sweat 9 p.m., whatever you need, we got you covered right here on the Awesomo YouTubes. We'll talk to you soon.